Apple fans, commence your drooling. The new iPhone is on its way.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Jeremy Hobson. Jeremy will be back tomorrow and broadcasting from London for the rest of the week. Later today, Apple will unveil its new iPhone. It's rumored that the device will be slimmer, with a larger touchscreen, a fancier camera, and a faster microprocessor. There's also talk of a new voice command function. But it's all speculation. As Marketplace's Steve Hinn reports, there's one big change we can count on.
Before every new Apple product launch, the rumor mill in Silicon Valley kicks into high gear. But we know one thing for sure. This will be the first launch with Tim Cook as CEO. And comparisons to Steve Jobs are inevitable. Cook's widely respected, but there are questions about the vision thing. Molly Wood is executive editor at CNET.
It will be interesting down the road to see if Tim Cook does have his own vision, and if so, what it looks like, because it is hard to imagine that he could be the next Steve Jobs.
But Michael Gartenberg at Gartner Research doesn't think Cook has to become Steve Jobs to succeed.
Jobs didn't just spend the last 10 years building a great company or 10 years building great products. He spent 10 years building a great management team.
Cook may not have to become a creative genius, but he's also never exhibited the swagger or salesmanship Jobs famous for. And interestingly, Apple is holding the event at a smaller location this year than it has in the past, and it may not stream it online. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. Asian markets are down again today, Europe too. Here in the U.S., the Dow fell nearly 2.5 percentage points yesterday. Ford Motor Company just announced a deal on a new 4-year contract with the United Auto Workers. It trades annual pay raises for profit sharing. Now, remember last year when we all started talking about foreclosure abuse? Things like robo-signing, where thousands of foreclosures were done every day without a legal review? Turns out Fannie Mae and its federal regulator knew all about that. That's according to a new report out from the Inspector General today. Joining me now is Gregory Warner. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what do we know?
Fannie Mae, the nation's largest mortgage investor, hired a network of law firms to handle foreclosures. And those law firms were paid by volume. And they cut corners. They were routinely filing false pleadings and affidavits. Now, this Inspector General report out today says Fannie Mae knew about those abuses from way back, and so did regulators. But little was done until the media reported it in 2010. I called Susan Wachter. She's professor of real estate and finance at the Wharton School. She says the problem isn't fixed.
We, in this crisis, and still to this day, lack a real-time public oversight of what is this critical industry.
So what happens now?
14 banks have agreed to fund an independent review of foreclosures. And this means that any homeowner who entered some stage of foreclosure in 2009 or 2010 can apply for an appeal. We're talking 4.5 million homeowners eligible to apply. Going back to Susan Wachter, she says we're really witnessing the birth of a cleanup industry, where the amount of money that goes to lawyers to clean up this mess is going to be huge compared to whatever money gets paid to homeowners in damages.
Marketplace's Gregory Warner, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Adrian.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. By MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect.
If you follow the news, you've probably found yourself wondering recently, what's wrong with our government? It can be easy to point fingers. But according to a new book by Harvard professor Lawrence Lessig, the problem isn't so much about individuals acting badly as it is about the far-reaching role of money in Washington. Lessig is the author of the book Republic Lost, How Money Corrupts Congress and a Plan to Stop It. Professor Lessig, good morning.
Good morning.
So what is the role that money plays in government today?
I think its primary role is not the historical form of corruption, the kind of quid pro quo, Rob Blagojevich kind of corruption. I think that corruption's gone. I think the role it plays now is a kind of in plain sight corruption. I work very hard in the book to insist I don't think these members of Congress are evil. They come to Washington for the right reasons, wanting to do something that's good from their perspective. But then they find themselves inside a system which is constantly bending them in a direction that at certain moments in their life they wake up and say, this is not who I wanted to be. This is not the job I wanted to undertake. We need to build a system where people have a reason to trust the system. And right now, as 75% of Americans believe, money buys results in Congress. And that's the corrupting attitude that I think this Congress faces.
Have we as a country learned our lesson from the 2008 financial crisis?
No. The financial crisis should have produced a pretty radical change, but an extraordinary number of lobbyists invaded Washington and succeeded in blocking any of the fundamental reforms that were needed, so that we are just as unsafe in our financial system today as we were before 2008. And that is a direct product of a government that can't be independent enough to change regulations of Wall Street because they are so deeply dependent upon funding from Wall Street banks and Wall Street hedge funds that make it so that they can't do the right thing.
Lawrence Lessig is the author of the new book, Republic Lost: How Money Corrupts Congress and a Plan to Stop It. Professor Lessig, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We've got an excerpt of Professor Lessig's book on our website, marketplace.org. And finally, all those snack and coffee breaks add up. According to Forbes, a new study from the office supply store Staples finds snack breaks eat up 2.4 billion hours of work time each year. And sure, all those trips to Starbucks mean people aren't at their desk, but I have to say, I do my best work with a little sugar and a lot of caffeine. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
We talk a lot about how bad things are in today's economy. Jobs, wages, you know the drill. But when it comes to crime, at least, things used to be a lot worse.
In tribal societies, an average of about 15% of people met their ends through violence. In the 20th century, you get to about 3%.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Freakonomics Radio. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.